One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
All right, let's start our list cast.
List cast, baby. It's been a long time since we had a list cast separate from the POD cast. You heard POD cast from the week. We're here. List cast is its own thing. Why? Because I need to do this. It's been too long. And every time I want to start one of these, Jeremy says, no, we should probably wait for the offseason. No, we're not waiting for any old goddamn offseason. Let's introduce the players before we get to the topic. I'm Chris Perfett, adequate host, very adequate, at Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader, at Detroit Online. Ryan Matthews, the rock god, at Ryan_POD. Limp Bizkit is for closers and for the main POD cast only. And joining us is Evan, at Big Slick McDick, from Twitter and his own podcast.
I like how Evan exists solely on Twitter, from Twitter.
I mean, that is 100% true, though. I'm not going to dispute that.
Pretty much, yeah.
The ghost in the machine.
He is. The ghost in the shell. What is our list cast today? Who wants to introduce this topic?
I feel like it has to be you, Chris, because you're the host and that's kind of your job.
And you're so damn excited about it.
I am. But you know what? Let's start with me and Ryan. Where else in POD Slack? And
where all things start.
Where all things start and end and die. And I don't know. I don't know how we got on to talking about it, but it came up about Nintendo. Oh, now I remember. I can't even say why, because it's related to one of my picks. But needless to say, we made about three different tangents and got to talking about the Nintendo 64. Now, the Switch is getting rave reviews. Super Mario Odyssey is probably like everyone's gone nuts for it. It's going to be a hard game of the year sell this year because we've got Wolfenstein 2 and Zelda and Mario and all other things. But top 10 in 64 games. The classics coming from when we were probably most of us teenagers, I think. Some of us didn't have N64s, but everyone knew like people who had N64s.
Ryan, were you born yet?
I was born. I was also 6 years old when I got my N64, so.
What about Evan?
I think I was like 20 when I got my N64, so. But all that really means is I got one like a few years ago. I didn't have one. I was a Sega Genesis guy.
I still have a Genesis. I still have it. It still works. I just have to find a place that'll take a coaxial.
Yeah, I have one too. Never use it.
I can't find many places that let me like plug it in by the coax cable, but it works. It works just fine. I've only got like the Sonic games for it now. But anyway, how are we going to do this? We're going to do like three a piece going up. We're going to have to be really careful about the time on this, although we have a whole podcast to ourselves. So that's showing you how much we care about this subject. So I think we should let the guest go first. Evan, do you want to take it away?
All
10, right. 9, 8.
Yeah, this is a really hard list for me because these are, I mean, aside from a couple games I've owned, they're mostly just games that like my cousin had that I'd play or something. So number 10, I'm going Super Mario 64. I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with Mario. Mario, the character we all know and love. And he's in 3D. Pretty cool. Number 9, Mario Party 3. Because I'm a big fan of Mario Party 9, and I'm assuming they're really similar. And then number 7, I got Conker's Bad Fur Day because that multiplayer mode was like a lot of fun.
I never played the multiplayer mode. What was that like?
It was just like a capture the flag kind of thing, at least when I, you know, the mode that I played all the time. So it was a lot of fun. I'm not going to get into the main story. I think we're all familiar with that. I don't have much to say about it. So there's my first three.
I am the great mighty Pooh, and I'm going to throw my shit at you.
You know, I actually forgot about that.
Of I have all no things, idea what you're talking
that's
about.
The one that you don't want to know, I promise you.
You're probably right.
Why Mario so low, though?
Because it's the only ones that I never really played.
Fair enough. Ryan, let's have you go next.
First of all, I'd like to say that Evan is built for ListCast because he did an infinite better job of being clear and concise with those first three picks than any of us have ever been ever on any ListCast.
Pretty much.
So, I mean, he's already toppled all of us. So, number 10 on my list, I have Pokemon Snap because I can't believe that they were able to sell that garbage.
Oh, Pokemon Snap was great.
Great. It was fantastic.
I love Pokemon Snap.
A game built on the idea of you taking pictures of your favorite Pokemon.
Yeah, but isn't that all you wanted to do when you were like 7?
What I mean, you literally just wanted to be able to traverse through your backyard and find Pokemon. Yeah.
Well, now kids do that all the time. Pokemon Go to the polls. Number 9, Ryan.
Number nine on my list is Mario Party 2, which might not have been as good as Mario Party 3, but I honestly can't remember. The only takeaway I have from Mario Party is how it destroyed your joysticks. The middle one on the controller, because it had that mini game where you had to just vigorously move it in a circle. And I'm actually sitting here doing the motion right now because I can't explain it without, like, if you ask somebody to describe what a spiral is.
No, I know. I think we all played a little bit of Mario Party, so.
Yeah, so Mario Party, and number 8, some more Mario action, but this time in motorized carts. Mario Kart 64. Not to be confused with its counterpart, Diddy Kong Racing.
Is that not on your list? That's not number 1 for you?
Diddy Kong Racing did not make the list. I'm sorry.
Diddy Kong Racing did have like airplanes, though.
I would be surprised if, like, do we just feel like Donkey Kong didn't have a very strong outing on the 64? Because I don't remember anything too memorable from him.
Well, I mean, it at least was there. You could not say the same about Metroid.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. Like Super Nintendo, I love me some Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah,
that's what absolutely. I was saying this right before we were off air, right before we were on air. I was going to put that on my list before realizing that it was an SNES game.
Was that eight for you, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to go Jeremy or should I?
I'll just go and get this out of the way and also kind of give the same spiel that Evan did, that I did not own an N64 right away. I owned it like after everyone had exhausted the system, essentially. So most of mine are also off of playing on my friends' systems. So my number 10 is a game called Blast Corps, I should say.
Blast Corps sounds a lot darker.
Yeah, it probably would have been a better game too. In all honesty, I'm Googling list of N64 games because I don't have a good memory. Jesus. And I like the cover of that one, and I'm pretty sure I've played it before, so that's my number 10. Number 9 is Bomberman 64, which I think is the only palatable Bomberman game there is. I don't know why that series is popular, but Bomberman 64 was actually pretty fun.
There was a good one for the PlayStation. It probably might have just been the same one cross-platform.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's a fun multiplayer game. I think that's going to be a theme of mine, is good multiplayer game. Just like my number 8, which I'm sure is higher on everybody's list and everyone's going to yell at me right now, Super Smash Brothers. I don't know. I'm not a nerd. I'm not that into it, but it was fun for what it was.
I was expecting that your defense of putting it so low was going to be you were more about Melee or some bullshit like
that. Oh, no. No, I just, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
This is not my thing. I'm not really into the like multiplayer fighting games as much as everything else.
That's not really much of a fighting game, is it? No, we should save this for later when we all start talking about Smash Brothers. But I'll just say it just doesn't feel like a fighting game as much like other ones. But number 10 for me, Star Wars Rogue Squadron, which I really wanted to put. I thought there was another Star Wars game for N64 I thought was really good, but I think it was Shadows of the Empire. But in that case, like, I loved just the first levels in Shadows where you just got to fly around and shit. And that was all Rogue Squadron was. So that takes number 10. And that's back in a day when Star Wars games were actually decent. So Number 9 is a Pokemon game, but much like as Ryan was talking about the dreams of having of just walking around and taking pictures of Pokemon, I wanted to upload my Pokemon onto Pokemon Stadium and just see them in 3D. Number 9, Pokemon Stadium. That's it. Playing the same damn game, just seeing them in 3D. I don't know. For like a young kid who had like a whole game, a whole Game Boy full of Red and monsters on Pokemon Red, like getting them up there was cool. Number 8 is a sports game. And I better see this on more lists here, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe not. And maybe it was more popular just as an arcade game, but it was on the N64 and I had it and it was good enough for me. NFL Blitz. Yeah, baby.
I don't know why I don't know why I made that noise, but yeah.
why did you make the noise? Now I want to know.
It's on my list.
Okay.
Was that the original version of that game?
Yes, but I think I don't know if Midway released it first for like arcades and then ported it over to the I'm taking a look right now.
But I know that you're talking about the one with Cordell Stewart on the front, right?
I think so, like the really weird looking 3D Cordell Stewart.
Is that why it's on your list, Ryan?
Shut up.
Like the steroid Cordell Stewart that is in like incredibly low polys. Yeah.
Not all heroes wear capes, people.
And I bought that for PlayStation a few years ago and somebody stole it out of my car.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they stole a lot of other stuff too, but that one hurt.
All right. Well, to get over that hurt, why don't I let 7, 6, and 5 go to you, Evan?
All right, so for 7, I got something in the same vein of NFL Blitz, but not as cool, because, like I just said, I had that for PlayStation, so it didn't even come to my mind when thinking of N64. But Madden 64, I really enjoyed that, doing spin moves just repeatedly and then running in a straight line and scoring touchdowns every time. Very realistic. That was 7, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. Number 6. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. And I was saying before we started, I think Link to the Past is better, but you know, that's on SNES, so whatever. Ocarina of Time hit Zelda, and it's on the 64, so it works. And then, number 5, I got Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a classic, can't go wrong.
You have blue or red?
I had both. I have blue still somehow, but I had both.
High roller here. High roller over here.
Oh, yeah. I had all of them. Don't ask me what happened to them.
They got stolen too?
Yeah, a couple actually.
Okay. Ryan. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, yeah. That was 7, 6, 5? Yeah. Does I count right?
You're good. Yeah, you counted right.
Adequate. Okay, Ryan, go ahead.
Looking at my list, I'm missing so many games that belong on here. I'm really pissed that Pokemon Snap made its way to number 10, but I mean, I got to live with what I did. So, because there are no retakes for this show. So, I was waiting for somebody to say it. Number 7 is Star Wars Rogue Squadron for all the reasons that Chris said, because the whole game was just you flying. And like whether or not it was like an X-Wing or a TIE Fighter, I think sometimes you got to. I don't know. Was it always an X-Wing? I don't know.
I don't remember.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I don't even really like Star Wars all that much, but that game was cool. Number 6, probably kind of low, maybe might be higher in some of your other ones, but Super Smash Brothers, because I remember playing this game with my babysitter, and then my babysitter pretending like he died when I put him in between my mattress and my bed spring, or my box spring, and I like elbow dropped him from a desk that was in my room. He legitimately pretended like he was dead for like 10 minutes, and I was freaking out, and then he got back up and tried to play it off as a joke and then said, "Hey, do you want to play some Super Smash Brothers?" And I was like, "Yeah, that'll probably cheer me up."
Well, that's pretty
wow.
And then, number 5, true story. I'm not even lying. That guy also taught me how to tie my shoes. His name was Sean. Number five is, this is so dumb because we're running into so many games that we have overlapping, but mine is NFL Blitz because, you know, Jeremy already outed me. So, yeah.
What else do you wear?
Fun fact, the quarterback for the Lions in that game, Charlie Batch.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, let me jump into mine. My number seven is Yoshi's Story. It's not as good as Yoshi's Island. I really wanted to put Yoshi's Island on this list, but again...
That's what I thought you were talking about at first. I didn't even remember there was a Yoshi's Story.
Yeah, I don't think I ever actually played Yoshi's Story, but Yoshi's Island was so good that I had to put its sequel on here, even though I've never played it. It's probably pretty good. That my number seven was Yoshi's Story, a game that I've never played. My number six is Turok. Because
this is the game I wanted to make my list. I think this was the game that started Chris and I's conversation about N64.
No, my one, it was a different game, but then we immediately transitioned into Turok Dinosaur Hunter.
I mean, is there any other game where you've been able to shoot dinosaurs and have them like bleed different colors?
Yes, but not as good as this one.
That's all that I needed. Dinosaurs with like blue blood. That's awesome.
All I'm going to say is, like, the Turok... do you guys remember the Turok remake that I think was, like, for, what was it, PlayStation 2 or something?
Xbox 360, I think.
Was it the 360? Yeah, the one Jeremy has. They decided to take everything that was good and wholesome about Turok Dinosaur Hunter, that it's, like, this time-traveling Native American who hunts dinosaurs and aliens, and just made him into, like, some weird space marine commando. Like, was there any better example of how to ruin, like, a really cool video game?
Yeah, but, I mean, it kind of reminds me, you guys ever played Pitfall 3D for the PlayStation?
I did not, but I did play Frogger 3D and Centipede 3D.
Well, Pitfall 3D, I feel like, kind of is in the same vein as that Turok remake, where they took Pitfall and then added a whole bunch of, like, backstory and stuff to it. Like, it's really strange. It's bizarre. But I had a lot of fun playing it.
Like, did Pitfall need that backstory?
Yeah. No.
Did it need 3D?
It's there if you want it. Well, it's a lot harder in 3D. But I guess that's really the only reason.
Atari was really doing some dumb stuff back then. Actually, that was Activision. But anyway. Was that it for you, Jeremy?
No, I got my number five is also NFL Blitz, same as Ryan. I like living in that era where we thought big hits were like the coolest thing and absolutely nothing bad happens if people get hit hard in real life.
Yeah, like we all bought those like VHS tapes, mail order of like, you know, biggest hits, you know, or bone crunchers or whatever like goon names they gave those tapes. We all had them.
Plus you could arm drop a dude. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And you could get caught, and you could be on fire. Like, that was the important part for me, that you were just on fire and running people over.
You could suplex players after the whistle. You could leg drop them. Basically, what it did is it married the two worlds that I cared about the most, sports and professional wrestling.
And it wasn't the XFL.
I just inadvertently said that wrestling was not a sport, and I hate myself forever now.
Sports entertainment. Sports entertainment.
But I mean, why did it take that long for NBA Jam for football to happen?
I don't know.
It's such an easy question.
Can NFL Blitz, like, can that game still, that game can't, like, be made in 2017, can it?
Who owns the Midway properties now?
That's a great question, but I don't, like, do you think that the league would ever allow that?
No.
No, it would have to be a fake league. Like, I think they're trying to make another Mutant League Hockey or Mutant League Football, I should say.
There was a version of NFL Blitz for like PlayStation 2 or something with a bunch of the generic unlicensed teams. But I think like Madden has the exclusive rights to all the players and teams and everything.
Yeah, that is true.
Pretty much. All right, seven for me. I don't know if anyone's listed it yet, but Banjo-Kazooie. It was fun. It was silly. It was most of the games from here on out for me are either from Nintendo or they're from Rare. And Rare really had a lot of good games on Nintendo 64, I've got to say. And Banjo-Kazooie was definitely one of them. And it absolutely spawned Conker's Bad Fur Day. But it was just a good platformer. I enjoyed platformers back then. What can I say? Number six, Mario Kart. I know it should probably be higher on some other lists, but I don't know. Just didn't like getting hit with shells. I sucked at it because I wanted to play Bowser, and Bowser couldn't handle a turn ever. Number five, haven't heard its name called yet, but Star Fox 64. The only game where furries, the only game where furries are acceptable.
That's the barrel roll one, right?
Do a barrel roll. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I always went hard path. Always. I want to play that right now, actually.
A quick, funny side story, because I think we should all be sharing these things about our experiences with the game, these games, is that the first time I ever watched anybody play Star Fox 64 was when I was watching my brother play it, and he introduced
takes
me
his
to
own
biscuit.
Death and scarred you for life.
Yeah, that too.
What was the story, Ryan?
No, it was just I guess the main part of that story is that I was introduced to Star Fox 64 the same day that I was introduced to both was it like atomic brand yo-yos? Was it like Fireball?
Yes.
Fireball. I was introduced to that as well as Limp Bizkit's first album, second album, not $3 Bill.
The late 90s was a great time.
I yearn for it every day.
All right, let's take that break there. When we come back, we're going to do our top four each. We're going twos format, but we're killing it through here. I like what we're having so far. So does anyone just want to read off all what they have so far? Just Evan, just read 10 to 5 what you have so far.
Okay. I wrote it all down on a whiteboard and erased it as I went. So let me try.
I have everyone's list.
Oh, that's right.
It.
Jeremy is a fucking stalker and remembers everything. Yes, go ahead, Jeremy.
All right. Evans is starting at number 10, Super Mario 64, Mario Party 3, Conker's Bad Fur Day, Madden 64, Ocarina of Time, and Pokemon Stadium.
I do have it in front of me. 10 Pokemon Snap, 9 Mario Party 2, 8 Mario Kart 64, 7 Star Wars Rogue Squadron, 6 Super Smash Brothers, and 5 NFL Blitz with Cordell Stewart on the cover.
Number 10, Blast Corps, which I just like the face of. Bomberman, number 9. 8, Super Smash Brothers. 7, Yoshi's Story. I've never played it. 6, Turok. 5, NFL Blitz.
And I had Rogue Squadron, Pokemon Stadium, NFL Blitz, Banjo-Kazooie, Mario Kart, and Star Fox. We're taking a break, and we'll be right back with the rest of the list cast. Back here again on ListCast. It's ListCast, baby. Top 10 N64 games is only you can hear from Pride Detroit. Ignore all other rankings. These are your official rankings, the last rankings you will ever have on the last podcast ever. Evan, we are now in the top four. You are our guest, Evan at Big Slick McDick. He is our guest here. And we just ran through the bottom six. So why don't you do 4 and 3? And you can be a little more verbose this time if you want. You don't need to be, but I'm giving you the option.
Well, now we're getting into like games that I actually like played more, so I'll probably have a little more to say. Except for number 4, because it's a lot similar to number 5, Pokemon Stadium 2. You know, it's like Pokemon Stadium, but it's got more Pokemon that I like. So
wasn't that one like for like gold, silver, and
yeah, with the good Pokemon on it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, now you're speaking my language and making Jeremy very mad.
You guys can like Pokemon, it's fine. I just don't get it.
Was it Ryan who hated Pokemon here?
It was Jeremy.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
All right, well, Jeremy's going to love number three, which is Pokemon Snap. Which, I mean, we already kind of went over, but that's pretty cool, you know. You see the Pokemon out there, take some beautiful pictures of them. Just a fantastic game, a work of art in and of itself.
Did Pikachu speak English in that one?
Oh my God. Definitely not.
Also, spoiler alerts, you son of a bitch. All right, Ryan, what do you have?
I can't stop thinking of that. I can't stop thinking of that clip now.
I've always cared about you.
I just love the guy that's like, yeah, what the fuck?
No!
It's up there with the other. It's up there with the other Vine. The who's that Pokemon? The guy just every time he's like, it's Pikachu. And it's not. He screams, "Fuck!"
Number four, probably higher on everybody else's list, but I don't know. It was only kind of good because you always played with those assholes who would pick odd job so they could use his hat. But number four is GoldenEye. 007.
Classic.
So yeah. Like, that's what got this started, is because I was bored and I pulled up GoldenEye on Amazon Prime one night, I think.
Yeah, I used to go to a friend's house and play GoldenEye, and he would screen watch really bad.
Oh, like, God, the worst.
So bad, yeah. So we had to, like, build a divider on the TV to separate the split screen so we wouldn't do it anymore.
I'm so glad we got rid of the split screen. Like, just the worst thing we could have ever done. Because, like, I didn't have that with that, but my friends used to play Halo and Halo 2, and we would play split screen. And it was, especially in that game, where you were, like, trying to snipe someone, and they're just looking at you, and you just have to slap them.
Let me just walk up and pop them.
System Link was probably the greatest thing that happened to video games. Because I mean, it gave you the wonderful experience of, like, all getting together and running long Ethernet cables through your parents' house to the point where they're yelling at you, "Why do you have to be the way that you are?"
The old LAN party shit, yeah.
I did like how. I was going to say, I like how systems before the internet were, like, trying to curb this problem of people looking at each other's screen. Like, the Dreamcast. They had, like, that little insert where you had the video screen, so, like, in Madden, you could call your plays on that thing.
Yep. Kind of, that was all, like, the Wii U tried to do that thing again. But, yeah. Man. Dreamcast. What happened, Sega? What happened?
Yeah.
Just before its time, man.
Oh, totally before its time. I mean, I don't think they did. They didn't release Crazy Taxi on N64. Otherwise, I'd be Jeremy's number one.
No, it was exclusive to Dreamcast, yeah.
If this was a Dreamcast list, I could go 30.
I don't... Were there 30 games for Dreamcast?
If there was, I played every single one. Shenmue, Deep Cut. That shit was awesome.
All right, Ryan, did you have another?
We just didn't tap into Jeremy's enough. Number three for me, Jet Force Gemini.
Oh, wow.
No idea. A completely, like, bizarre game, but three and one were two games that I played with my mom, and really the only video games I ever played with my mom. So... 3-1, Jet Force Gemini was just, it was like this weird mix, because it was a Rare game, it, like, mixed together, like, Perfect Darks, like, really good gameplay, but also with this, like, sci-fi, jungle, planetary exploration, it did a lot of things really cool.
There was, like, an alien dog with a cannon on its back, I think.
Hell yeah. There are all those different characters that you could play with. Yeah.
So, that's a game that didn't make my list, Perfect Dark.
Didn't make mine either.
Yeah. Although it is probably as good as GoldenEye, but yeah.
Maybe, but didn't it require an expansion pack to be able to play it?
It might have. I honestly, I never had Perfect Dark, so I don't know.
pretty sure. And that automatically discredits it, because if I have to add further hardware to be able to play the game, that's just
even just adding a rumble pack is like, well, A, now you can't use a memory card. B, it's just so goddamn heavy.
But we're totally cool with plugging in Pokemon Blue into the back of our controller.
Yep. Jeremy.
All right, my number four is Super Mario 64. Mario games are obviously always pretty darn good, but this one was a little frustrating with the camera, working the camera, like using those yellow arrow buttons, just trying to figure out how to see what's ahead of you in most situations. So it could sting a little bit. In terms of like the Mario universe, I think this is pretty low down on my favorites. I prefer pretty much any Nintendo or SNES Mario game over this one, but it's still pretty good. And then my number three is Mario Kart. Again, this was the ultimate like multiplayer system, right? This is the first time we got to play four at a time.
I mean, some of the other ones, like, yeah, and actually, yeah, I think for four, because I think the PlayStation only had like, what, two controllers on its first, on the first pass. Like
You had to buy the like expansion thing to plug into it so you could play with four people.
Yeah, this was like the first kind of console where it's like, yeah, you should absolutely be playing with your friends.
Yeah, and that's why all these best games on most people's list, Super Smash Brothers, Mario Party, all those sort of games are built around having three other friends around playing games. It's the first time a lot of us got to do that.
I think that was really the revolutionary thing about N64 then. You know, we always talk about Nintendo doing something different every time once they got out of the SNES era. And yeah, for the N64, it was like party games. All right, what's your number three? Was that it?
That was my number three.
Okay, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Number four, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. I actually just got this game again for like, they have it on the Nintendo 3DS and I was playing it again. And, kind of forgot how good it is. I'm kind of with Evan. I kind of like kind of the top down Zeldas a lot better, but as far as the 3D ones, I think this is still probably the best one. Like I tried Twilight Princess and I tried I forget the other one, but I haven't tried Breath of the Wild yet, but still like this at least like addressed some of the 3D problems by having the lock on camera and shit. And just in general, I think this was like one of the last games where I'm like, I need a Prima guide or I need Nintendo Power to like find all the hidden stuff. So that was cool.
Got to play an Ocarina.
Yeah, you got to play an Ocarina.
Big ass, man.
Yeah, it made me think Ocarinas were cool.
Love shredding on an Ocarina.
Number three, Mario 64. I know it's a lot lower for you guys, but I was always trash with the a lot of the other Mario games, and this one was just fun for me to run around and be stupid. I also have a list here of reasons why I like Mario 64. Number one, canonized Mario's completely over the top and kind of racist Italian voice. Like that's there. Let's go.
It's a me.
Yeah, it canonized it. It was just like cartoons and stuff, and now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, no. Now Nintendo has said yes. That is a real thing that is there. He is Guido as fuck. He will be. Number two, throwing Bowser by the tail, spinning around like you're the Swedish Superman, Ryan, and just I'm sure that's where he got it. Cesaro got it from was Mario 64. In fact, that's canon now.
Yeah. Okay.
But what else here? Oh, the never-ending staircase, which I would run up for an hour before I realized I didn't have enough stars. And then the final point to love it was right at the start, being able to like mold Mario's face.
I was going to bring that up if you were going to bring it up.
I absolutely was not going to forget it because I made just horrors, affronts to God out of Mario's face. I almost played that opening screen as much as the actual game itself.
Right?
Okay, we are at 1 and 2 here. And I give the rights to Evan. hit us up 2-1. This is the top of the mountain here, man. You're about to make it through your first list cast. How are you feeling? How are you holding up?
Oh man, the pressure's on me right now for some reason. All right, number two. Oh wait, go ahead, man. What were you gonna say?
I said for some reason.
Oh yeah. See, look, I'm already cracking under pressure, man. I can't do this. All right, number
two. Champion. Gotta be a champion here, man. Number two.
Number two. Pokemon Puzzle League.
Evan is on a string of Pokemon games right now.
Yeah, and Pokemon Puzzle League was the best of all. That one got really contentious. I feel like Pokemon Puzzle League was esports.
What is this? Is this a real game?
Yes, it is.
Pokemon Puzzle League? It's like every one of these games had those matching color games. Like, you know, Genesis had Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, N64 had Puzzle League.
Oh shit! You know the best. I don't mean to step on your pick here, but the best version of this game is Puzzle Fighter. It was a Sega Saturn game. It was like Street Fighter, but it was one of these type of games. It's called Puzzle Fighter something, and for some reason, it's extremely popular. I sold my Sega Saturn about 7 years ago. The whole system went for like $30. This game alone went for $20 or $25. Super weird. Street Puzzle Fighter 2 or something. Anyways.
I think I respect Evan's pick because this was like the Pokemon cartoon was involved in this.
Yeah, and you know, it's another one of the ones you play with friends and it gets really heated. You know, you gotta take my word for it. And it's also a game that if I played it today, I would be absolutely terrible at. Like, I do not have the reflexes or mental capacity to handle Pokemon Puzzle League anymore. And then number one, I got GoldenEye. We already kind of went over this. It's classic, man.
Oh, shit. I didn't put GoldenEye on my list. Whoops.
What?
I forgot. Oh, well.
The things we're going to learn. Ryan... Pave over his mistake. What do you got?
I'm changing my list right now. Number two is Zelda Ocarina of Time. We haven't talked about it a whole lot, but it definitely deserves its spot up here. I don't know. Everything about it is really good. My favorite memory of this game is like I mentioned earlier. I played this game with my mom and I was only 6 or 7 while I was playing it, so I didn't have like the greatest like puzzle solving abilities yet. So, and apparently neither did my mother in her late 20s or early 30s, however old she was. So one night we drove to the nearest Toys R Us, and we didn't buy the game guide, but we went inside the store, and my mom flipped to the end of it so she could figure out how to beat the game.
Is your mom me or something? Like, what is this? I've met your mom. I did not think she was young enough to be doing this.
And then we drove back home, and then we beat Ganondorf with the light arrows. So
nice.
So that'll always...
Did you ever get the Bigoran sword?
I think so.
That was always the problem for me, was like having to do the timed run for the Bigoran sword right at the end. Where it's like you have to run by foot within like 5 minutes to the mountain or you don't get it.
Wasn't that game so cool though? I mean, like, aside from the water temple being like the most frustrating thing in the entire world. Like the temples in that game were really cool and super imaginative. And like that type of stuff just doesn't happen in video games anymore.
Well, it's always the Zelda games seem to lead the way for all of these systems. Because, like, even Twilight Princess was, like, cool. You get to, like, swing, act like you're swinging with the sword, which is kind of neat. And now, you know, Breath of the Wild is, like, the big thing on the Switch. Like, it always seems like the Zelda games seem to lead the way.
Yeah. They're always super innovative.
Got another Zelda take for you guys if you want it.
What's that?
I think the best Zelda game is Okami for PS2.
Jesus Christ. I would like to see another Okami game, though.
Yeah, did you play the one for DS?
I have not. I will have to go find it now. Ryan, what's your number one?
My number one with a bullet is WWF No Mercy.
Oh, God.
I'm really not kidding. And I mean, I know I'm the only one who's going to have this on their list, but this game was like balls to the wall, maybe the most fun game that I've played my entire life. Like, I've put a ton of hours into Fallout 3. I've put ungodly amount of time into Halo 2. I don't think I've played a video game as much as I have WWF No Mercy. This game was so great. Like, I mean, in the storyline mode, in the Road to WrestleMania mode, in the previous version of the game, like, if you lost, like, it would just have you replay the match. In this game story mode, like, you had, like, branching storylines depending on, like, how your matches ended. And, like, that was really cool for a wrestling game in particular and for just any game in person, you know, any game, not even specifically just a wrestling game, but the ability to have, like, a variety of different storylines depending on, like, the outcomes of stuff. Like, I mean, the Telltale series created an entire franchise off that, so...
I know we already decided on what's going to be a picture here, but I also would like to submit a picture for the podcast, this podcast episode. I don't think I can change it, but it should be Rikishi's face from WWF No Mercy.
Dude, the fact that in that game, like, it differentiated the size between people. Like, Kane was, like, bigger than all the other wrestlers. Like, Rikishi's ass was ginormous. Like... there was something so lifelike about that game too, though. Like, I don't know, that game was really, really cool. Like, so many different things. Like, it was the first game with, like, ladder matches, special guest referees, like think, like, WWF at that point had, like, its, like, most vast roster it's ever had in its entire, you know, existence in terms of superstar talent, and it had literally everybody. Like, I mean, it even had Shawn Michaels as an unlockable character, even though he probably was at, like, his, like, least liked with the company. But, like, it's just so awesome that game existed, and I'm so happy. I tried to get an emulator of that game to run on my Mac, because, like, there are people who still, like, they have, like, the complete updated roster to today's WWE playing WWF No Mercy.
I could probably hook you up. Let's talk offline. I could probably hook you up.
I'll buy a gaming PC right now.
Jeremy, you've got 2-1.
Yeah, let's just pretend at some point I said GoldenEye because I totally forgot it off my list, but
you're being the adequate one.
You can replace it with that Yoshi game you never played.
No, Yoshi's Story stays.
Yeah, it's probably really good.
It is. My number two is Mario Party. I can't differentiate between the three that were on N64, so I'm just saying Mario Party 1.
I don't think you need to.
No, it's cool, because I picked Mario Party 3 just because I like Mario Party 9.
But, I mean, we were talking about how this game was, the system was all about multiplayer games, and this was the ultimate multiplayer game. I'm one of those weirdos that does like board games, so a video game that's essentially a board game, I'm into. Plus this introduced mini games, right, to essentially all platforms, and I would say it's kind of the predecessor for WarioWare, which was one of my favorite games for, what was that, Game Boy Advance?
I love WarioWare. No, I think that was for the DS, because you had the stylus, I think. No, wait, no.
There was a WarioWare before that.
It was for Advance, but then they... Yeah, WarioWare is great. I fucking love WarioWare.
And I don't know if there's a WarioWare if there wasn't a Mario Party first.
General, like, Wario as a character, kind of, like, I mean, he was around before on, like, Game Boy and everything, but, like, I think it was these games like Mario Kart 64 and Mario Party that helped him take off and become a thing.
Right.
Also, didn't they introduce Waluigi, or was that later? I think they introduced Waluigi in Mario Party.
I don't recognize him as a real character. That's
you should. The thing
I hate Waluigi. His name pisses me off so much.
Like, okay, I'm gonna find a Medium post and link you to the philosophy of Waluigi.
I'm not gonna read it. I'm just telling you now. You're gonna link me to it. I'll probably open it and keep it in a tab for maybe a day, and then I'll just be like, you know what? I'm not gonna read this.
Waluigi originated in Mario Tennis, which is also an N64 game.
Yeah. I do like the tennis games, but it's that's not my number one.
Mario Golf was actually pretty good, too.
Yeah.
There was a Mario Soccer game for GameCube that I played a lot.
Oh, Strikers. I know what you're talking about. Mario Strikers. I actually knew someone who used to develop that game.
Cool. My number one is Star Fox, because I fucking love that game. I've played it,
man,
back to front so many times. There's so many things I love about it. I love that it has a co-op character that you're just supposed to hate because no one likes Slippy. I love the boss battles in that game because you kind of have that sandbox thing where you can basically go wherever you go. It's not a side swipe thing or what do you call it? Side scrolling. And then like the boss where you're supposed to shoot him in the eyes so that his hands start waving so that you hit his hands off. I don't know. Like just every boss battle on that seemed really, really fun. And I also like the middle, I don't know what they were like, little mini games in the middle where you would, no, it wasn't mini games. It was like when you had like different level routes you could take. And sometimes you'd have to go the harder route. And another sandbox level that sticks out is like the one where they would have fighter jets following you and you'd have to like
pull the Star Wolf things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So you'd have to pull the move where you like do a flip or whatever you call it. Not a barrel roll. We all know the barrel roll, but like the little flips. I don't know. It just,
the final boss in that game was a giant brain too. And that's always the best.
Yes.
Isn't that just something that like, I feel like as consoles like progress, like I feel like boss battles always consistently got worse.
I think just less and less people stop like making good bosses. Like most of the boss design went to like MMOs, like to like World of Warcraft or Destiny or something. They didn't really stick around to regular games unless you were playing something like Monster Hunter or something. I am starting to see it come back though. I'm starting to see like kind of a rash of games where it's like, you know, teamwork to take down these giant monster things. But yeah,
I don't know about Destiny because like I said, they literally lifted the Frieza Saga storyline and put it in their game. So
in Destiny 2, yeah, you did not like Destiny 2.
I sold it today to GameStop so I could buy Wolfenstein.
They give you like $2 or something,
maybe $17 in GameStop money.
Oh, shit, I gotta go turn mine in because I moved over to PC. But all right, I want to do my 1 and 2. Number 2, Super Smash Brothers. Because this was it. We talk about all the party games, but this is the one me and my cousins always played. We played it like way after the N64 was a thing too, because it sat at my grandparents' house and we would just go over and that would be the only thing we would do. We'd play N64 and I would just punch anyone who picked Fox. Did not allow anyone to play Fox. I would play Link though a lot, but just fuck Fox. Fuck anyone who plays Fox.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Strong language, but I mean, I like the original one a lot. There's like a big difference in golf between the people who like the original or Melee, and Melee's ass. Get the fuck out of here with Melee. It's about the original.
Not the GameCube one.
Yeah. It was the GameCube one. Yeah. It was like supposed to be like more tactical, harder to like get guys airborne or something. And I'm just like, no, fuck that.
Yeah. I hate that game just cause I'm awful at it, but it's probably cause I pick Kirby every time. I just really like Kirby.
I can't remember who I used to always play. The problem with the Smash rosters now, they're so damn big. But number one, when we played this, had one set of rules: facility, slappers only, no odd job. It's GoldenEye with a bullet, and I'll fight anyone who says differently.
With a golden bullet?
The golden gun was such trash. It was always one kill bullshit. Fuck out of here with that.
Do you know the one game that none of us had before you get into GoldenEye? I feel like we've talked a lot about GoldenEye, but none of us put a Tony Hawk game on our list. Like, do we feel like those games were better consumed on like different consoles?
I mean, I had Tony Hawk on PlayStation. So yeah, actually, no, wait, too. My first Tony Hawk was actually Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, and it was on the original Xbox.
Oh wow. Yeah.
And that was like
a remake title for, yeah.
Well, that was cool because like the original Xbox, you could like rip your CDs onto it, and then none of the games ever took advantage of it except for Tony Hawk Pro Skater. So instead of their soundtrack, you could load up whatever music you had ripped onto your Xbox hard drive.
Unfortunate though, because Tony Hawk usually had great soundtracks, especially number 2.
It was a great soundtrack, but it was also cool to like take it out and put in like some Limp Bizkit and some Finger 11 and some like Canadian alt rock shit.
That is true. I did that with ESPN NFL 2K5. I listened to Fire by Lloyd Banks like 3,000 times.
Yeah, I had a Finger 11 song that I always have on repeat on Pro Skater 2, especially in like some warehouse type level.
I know Jeremy likes Tony Hawk.
I have nothing else to say about GoldenEye. I thought even the main campaign, like, I don't think I've ever seen. I was going to say, like, there has not been another movie. Was that like the last good movie video game was GoldenEye? Was there any other game based off of a movie that's actually like good? I can't really. What?
Spider-Man.
What about what? None of us mentioned Superman 64.
God, that game flying through the rings was the most. Oh,
Evan, do you follow Bacon on Twitter?
I do.
That's love
a top Twitter follower.
That is a top Twitter follower. Can I spell out his name? Is it B-A-K-O-O-N. O-O-N. But his like handle is like a couple of extra K's and O's and N's. But he has like late night Twitch streams where he like hits an edible and like starts watching like these old episodes of like Japanese game shows and then loads up an emulator. And one night he loaded up Superman 64 and it was like the most trash game possible, and him being high did not make it better. Like, he just could not find the rings and he just hated everything. People list that as like the worst game of all time.
Yeah, I was going to put it on my list as a joke, but I don't know enough about it to like make a funny joke about
like,
it. So
isn't that amazing though, that we're talking about a console that had some of the stuff people say are the best games of all time. Like Legend of Zelda and Star Fox, and it also has like the worst game of all time in Superman.
Oh, that's remarkable. Do best and worst on the same console. I mean,
yeah, buddy. They do it.
Oh yeah.
We have anything else to say on the N64, or have we just slammed this puppy shut?
Jeremy, I think should get last word. But Evan, go ahead and share what you want to.
I was going to say, I think the N64 is cool, and I wish I didn't sell mine. I was really broke, and I needed $20, so.
Good thing it didn't get stolen.
Yeah, for real. Come on, man. Quit stealing shit from my car. I know you're listening.
This keeps coming back, and it keeps happening.
Jeremy, take us home.
Two things. The worst video game of all time is Echo the Dolphin because I only played it.
Oh, no, fuck you.
Wait! Let me finish! I only played it in Blockbuster stores and I never figured out how to actually play the game.
I will admit, when I first played Echo, I did not know how to get out of like the starting area.
Neither like, did Jeremy, apparently.
Nope. I didn't know you were supposed to jump into the sky to start the game, but I will
Where
fight.
Where were you 20 years ago?
I will fight anyone because I love the Echo series. The first one, okay, fine. It was a little weird, but Echo the Dolphin is like, I mean, Echo Tides of Time, which is like Echo 2, is the most trippy fucking game in the world. It's immaculate. The art style is goddamn immaculate. It's a sight to behold, and if you are high, it will just give you a really bad trip. But I miss Echo the Dolphin. I love that game.
What was the second part, off. Jeremy?
I don't know what WWF No Mercy is, but I played the hell out of WCW versus NWO, and that was obviously the superior game, even though I didn't play No Mercy.
Yeah, I've played that one too. It's pretty fun.
I mean, it's fun, but trust me. Trust me, guys.
No, I don't think so.
I'll invite you all over right now. There's four of us. There are four ports on the 64. I'll go get a copy. You guys are all invited. But none of you can be Undertaker, because he was not fair.
Was he the odd job of No Mercy?
I feel like he was overpowered.
Is Chris Benoit on that one?